Well, this morning, we're living by faith. Imagine that. So, it's an important, I don't want to say it's an important concept, it's an important reality that we live by faith, and that the Scripture gives to us reasons that we should be living by faith. And faith is knowing that something is real even though we don't see it, okay? So we know God is real. We know God's promises are there, just like we know Noah, or, yeah, who'd you say, Noah? Yeah, Noah. That we are his ancestries, you know. Well, if you go back, we're all kind of in there with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. So we're in there somehow, and we are the survivors of the flood. But living by faith in God in Hebrews chapter 11 is kind of like the who's who of the Bible. And in this lesson, I like it, but I kind of, I like for them to do the first 1 through 30, but they skipped all of that, you know. They skipped all of the heavy hitters, the individuals who are known throughout scriptures for their acts of faith, and Abraham and Isaac and, you know, Jacob and then with Joseph, and then we go all through all of the latter ones and Moses. And so it's just, well, this lesson gives us an understanding of kind of after those heroes of the faith, we also have others listed. But it gives to us faith's perfect vision and its quality of endurance. And so whenever I think of the lesson, you know, living by faith in God, is that we have this vision or this understanding of where God wants us to go in our life, and that we have this quality of endurance that we're not going to give in, we're not going to give up. You know, the early church, they would not give up even though they were under severe persecution and being tortured and killed for their faith. Their endurance was there. They were not going to give up. So what we see then is, and we look back on these individuals and we think, you know, perhaps they had 20/20 vision of where they were going, and there was no doubt in their mind, and they just set their mark and they went that way. Well, I don't think it. We read the outcomes and we read the decisions, but we don't always have the nitty gritty of the what's going on in their mind. Well, should I do this or should I do that? And so there was this. There's this understanding that these individuals, at the end of their life, we see and we look back over their life and we see the major decisions that they made, and we say, well, you know, God directed them, and they did so by faith. And the same thing is going to, I think, be said of us, in the sense that when we look back over our life and we look back over the events and the stories of our life and how we made the decisions, we could also say that we, by faith, were being led by God, and that we made those decisions, and those decisions were the ones that God intended for us so that we would arrive at the place of this role of faith in heaven. So this chapter then is a chapter of personal testimony about these individuals and about their life and about how that they followed God, and how that the circumstances that they went through, and how that God was able to bring them through those circumstances and come to a realization that they were the children of God. It also talks about in the lesson how that many people have forgotten their testimony today, that we have left out our testimony for Christ, and people may not believe in the theology or may not believe in our teachings, but they, you know, no one can refute your experience. This is my personal experience. They may disagree with it, but it's your experience. So therefore it's true. And it's important that we know and are able to speak what we know has happened in our own life, and how that God has been there with us and he has seen us through the difficult times. So Hebrews 11:1. I always remember, this was years ago, someone asked a pastor, well, what is the definition of faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Okay, what is the definition of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. I say, I know, but what is faith? Faith is, and and well, kind of, I think what the guy was trying to get across is, faith is knowing that something is real, even though we don't see it. That we believe in the reality of God and we believe in the reality of the promises, even though we don't see them or understand them completely, we know that God is alive and God is active in our lives and He is active in all that we're doing, and so we believe. And so that's our substance. We believe the Word of God that I can do all things through Christ, so we believe that God will be there to help us step forward, to take the next step. So the evidence of things not yet seen, we know that there are things coming in our life because of our faith. We know that there are good events and God has a future plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11, you know, God knows the plans He has for us to prosper us and, you know, and a future that we hope for and not to harm us. So those are the substance of what we believe. We know that it's there. We know that this is real. And even though we don't see it or feel it at the moment, we believe that it's coming. So we're constantly going in that direction. So in Hebrews, it says the just shall live by faith. And so whenever we are the justification or just as if I'd never sinned, that we are just in the eyes of God, by God, that we live by faith in our promises, in the promises that God has given to us through the Scriptures. Faith is being the proof of the reality of things we cannot see. Has always been the great means of preservation for the saints. So, you know, Paul and James and Stephen, when Stephen was stoned, you know, he had faith in Christ, and he had faith that that people may take his life, but they're not gonna end his life. You know, he saw Jesus. So persevering, giving the testimony, no matter what comes of it, we know that God is there and He's going to see us through. What else? So most of Hebrews is verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." So what we have then is we're reading through the first verses of Hebrews 11. We are seeing how God bore witness through these Old Testament believers, how God bore witness through them about what He was going to do. So we have that these elders or the saints of old declare that they won God's approval with their acceptance of Him. So, was Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him as righteousness. So, our belief is very much a part of our acceptance before God. Our belief is our acceptance before God and God's acceptance of us. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. That's our acceptance. It's our confession. It's our belief that we declare that God's approval is given by us confessing and His forgiveness. So whenever we pray about life and about situations and people and who we are and decisions that have to be made, whenever we're praying about those things, our faith is winning God's approval. Our faith then is allowing that approval to be manifest in our life. And that's what we read through the saints in Hebrews chapter 11. So we then live and make decisions based on faith. All right? We're seated here today because we have faith in God's word and we've come to hear His word and learn from His word so that we can trust Him more. And so that we can, understand our spirituality and understand that our faith is knowing that something is real even though we don't see it. God is here. We sense it. We know it. We feel it. We have an understanding of it. His witness, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So these are the intangible but tangible aspects of our faith that give us the strength for each day and give us the faith and the strength for, you know, getting out of bed. Amen. Thank you very much, Jim. So, any questions? Well, then we skip down to verse 32. So we went from chapter 11, verse 2, down to verse 32. And again, the writer to the Hebrews, now, he's calling, the writer here is writing to the Hebrew, the Jewish community, and he is pointing out to them a more excellent way. You know, we've gone through the Old Testament sacrifices, and we've come to Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah, all right? Then the writer of the Hebrews goes back and, okay, let's look at faith now. Let's look at how our faith, we call it the Old Testament, how that the Old Covenant was established and the people of that covenant, the faith that they had in God and how that God moved and worked through them and through the nation of Israel. And he goes on to say in verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith," okay, knowing that something is real even though we don't see it, "who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." So, whenever we are confronted with our decisions that we have to make and our daily bringing our life before God, we need to remember by faith these of the Old Testament under the Old Covenant in light of the promises of the Messiah coming, they were able to subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions. I mean, so when we start seeing that in by faith, these individuals who were out under the old covenant of rituals were able to do this, and he goes on basically to say that how much more so then shall we who have this more excellent sacrifice, this more excellent knowledge in Christ, how much more so should this be relevant and evident in our life? So, by faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. They passed through on dry ground. Now, if the Egyptians were not behind the Israelites, do you think they'd have walked across the sea? You know, they came to the Red Sea and they were grumbling, complaining. They were going to kill Moses. You know, we should have stayed back in Egypt and all that wonderful stuff. So God opens the sea. Now, if the Egyptians had not been back there pursuing them and going to capture them, do you think they would have walked through the Red Sea? It's just a supposition. What do you think?
Given their slave mentality.
No. Well, I'm not going down there. Look at all that water. You know, what's keeping it up? I don't see any walls. I don't see any fiberglass or plastic there that I can knock on, you know. I wonder if any fish fell out of the water. That's just
the way it
was. They didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, might as well follow Moses. He's got us this far. But in our life, isn't it, you know, whenever we're looking at by faith, okay, faith is what? Knowing that something is real even though we don't see it. So we have faith knowing that God is real even though we don't see him. So we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. No matter what I do, I lose here. If I try and swim across the sea, it's too great. I don't have time to build a boat. And the Egyptians, they're going to take me back as prisoners, and they're probably going to kill half of us, you know. So what are we going to do? And often it is those predicaments where we find ourselves between two obstacles that God, then get to the point where we have to really ask God, what is it do you want me to do? Remember in our last couple of weeks, we you know, in the Lord's Prayer, we spoke about drawing close. I think it was the Message or the expanded version says something to the effect that when we draw close to God, when we bring to God our prayers, we draw close to God, we lose sight of ourselves and our need, and we focus on God. So that's not what it, that's my expanded version. So the idea is that we are to focus more on God than on our difficulties. And it's hard to do that because the sea is an opening and the Egyptians are coming. So what are we going to do? Well, by faith then, we do whatever it is that God commands us to do, because when the children of Israel... at the Red Sea, you know, Moses, you know, commanded, and God brought the wind and the sea split, and they walked through on dry ground. Well, when the Egyptians got in there, the whole army was destroyed by the waters collapsing on them. Well, we then look at Jericho. Jericho was this fortified city. They weren't going to conquer that. You know, they'd lose half their army, you know, trying to conquer Jericho. So what do you do in the midst of a Jericho? God renewed his promise, because whenever the priests then took the ark and stepped into the water, the Jordan River stopped flowing, and the whole congregation of Israel walked through the Jordan River and got on the other side where Jericho was. Now, you should see how the experts try and, you know, solve that problem. To explain it away. You know, one guy, I saw I don't know why I watched them. I don't know, the Discovery Channel or History Channel or one of them. They had this guy in one of those pontoons, but those flat boats with the big propellers on the back. And how that they anchored it in place, and then they wound it up, and how that it blew the water back. It says, well, this is a possibility. Well, nobody could walk under that, you know. They were trying to explain how it happened. It get blown away. And the reason the Jordan River dammed up for them to go across, perhaps there was a volcano. And there was an earthquake or something that stopped the river from flowing. Well, either way, God did it. You know, so anyhow, Jericho, they, you know, there's the impossible situation. What do you do with a Jericho? What do you do with the Red Sea? What do you do with the Jordan River? What do you do with a Jericho? You march around it. What do you put your faith to your feet and you walk. And you walk around as God tells you to, without murmuring and complaining. You know, keep your mouth shut. So they walked in circles, didn't make much sense, but from a human vantage point, but the people trusted God. So the difference was the people trusted God. When your need loses its input or its proportion to us, and the focus is God, then we have a different perspective of it. We have a different perspective of God and of the situation because God is greater than Jericho. God is greater than the Jordan River. God is greater than the Red Sea. God is greater than the Egyptians. So whenever we start looking at life, we have to see God is greater than me and my thoughts and actions and whatever. God is greater than the obstacle. God is greater than people and governments and organizations or whatever. God is greater than all these things. So what does he want me to do in this situation? How does he want me to trust him? Be still and know that I am God? Or walk around Jericho? So the focus becomes God and what we're going to do with the situation. And sometimes it's, you know, be still and know that I am God. In verses 32 and 33, we have a catalog of accomplishments that faith has brought. So the writer says that was not enough time to relate to all the stories mentioned of Gideon and Barak, Samson, David, and Samuel. So all these things, there's not enough time to write down all the things. And what is it, one of the scripture talks about how if all the things that Jesus did were recorded, there wouldn't be enough. There wouldn't be enough paper, you know. It would take volumes of books. So we just have a highlight of what Christ has accomplished. I don't remember. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Verse 35 says, now we're talking about faith, and faith then is knowing that something is real even though we don't see it. Faith is a substance. So whenever I tried to think of it in the context that whenever we have the Word of God, that substance, the substance of God's Word is very real. So we take the substance of God's Word, and of His promise, and that substance then brings into reality what we believe God has promised us. So the substance of things hoped for. So faith is believing that something that is unseen, in this realm where we live, exists in the spiritual realm right over here. And in the spiritual realm, faith is what brings it from over in the spiritual realm over into the physical realm. That is our substance. So whenever we pray for things and events and whatever, we believe that God has them already ready for us and prepared for us, and they're just over here. We can't see them, but they're there for us. And whenever we pray and believe, then we're believing that God will bring them into this realm. We're not going to bring them in. God is going to bring them in. So, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's one of those, I don't hear anybody, I never preached on that verse. We're all going to die, and you're not going to accept any deliverance. You're just going to go there and you're going to die because you have a better resurrection. Well, for us, I don't believe him. But in those days, you know, we're watching Paul on Wednesday night. We saw part of it last week, and we'll see part of it this Wednesday. And, you know, one of the things mentioned afterwards was all of the horrible things that happened to the Christians at that time. You know, they were used as human torches, filled, you know, thrown oil on them and lit them up. You know, they were tortured and killed. So they saw death as something that, hey, they're going to kill me anyhow, so I might as well die with my faith. You know, it's one of those things that if they arrested you for being a Christian and you denounced you were a Christian, they killed you for being a coward. It's just, they're going to kill you anyhow. So, but I don't know if that's a Dave McGee. That's not a divine inspiration. That's just a Dave McGee thought, okay? That they often would kill people just to kill them. That's just the way they were. And so they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, so we see that there were those who were tortured, and there were those who were dead and raised from the dead, and then there were those who were tortured, and then there were those who were killed for to obtain a better resurrection, and others that had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment, you know, thrown in jail, beaten with rods and whips. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. One prophet, I can't remember who it was, they put him in a hollow log and then sawed him in half. They had ways of really, well, anyhow. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I mean, so these individuals, some of them were out in the deserts living alone. Now, later on, we had the monks and the people who would go into caves and things and seek this life of purity of so that they weren't contaminated by other people. But that's not what this is. This is about, they were so persecuted and so distraught and destitute and afflicted, they're tormented, they went out into the deserts and to live out there. And, you know, it doesn't say that these were cowards. It says that that's what they did. So each person is responsible to do what they must before God, with God, as they live for him. And I'm sure God had a ministry for them out there as well. Of whom the world was not worthy. They were not worthy. The people of that world at that time, they were not worthy of these individuals and their company. They wandered in the desert and in the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So this was the heritage of their belief. They believed that God was in charge and God was going to see them through their difficulties, and they went to other areas to live. And verse 30, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So this is the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. And he said, these having obtained a good report through faith, they have obtained a good report through their faith and their belief that God was with them and God was going to see them, but they didn't see the promise yet, the Messiah. They hadn't seen Christ, and they would die believing that the promise was coming. They would die believing that God was going to fulfill the promise he gave to them in their life. You know, I think in our day and age, if we don't get it by tomorrow, you know, next day air, if we don't get it by then, you know, we haven't got the promise. You know, we don't have enough faith. Well, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so let us who now are of faith look at the heroes of our faith that he's just gone through. Look at these people of faith and recognize that they are a crowd of witnesses, like he likens it to the games, the Roman games and the Olympics of the time. Great crowds would gather in the arenas and they would watch these people run and perform as they would in the Olympics. Well, we are being watched by the Old Testament saints, and they are encouraging us. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us. That when a person is in training back in that time, they would wear weights around their ankles so that they would run with their weights, and that when the time came for running and participating, they would take off the weights so that they could run faster. So let us lay aside the weights, the sins that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Patience. Let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the author and the finisher. He who began the faith finishes the faith before the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, everything begins and ends with Christ. You know? And the joy set before him. So all of the torture and all of the rejection and all of the pain of the cross and the death and the earthly ministry and the death and descending into hell and, you know, all of that shame, he for the joy that was set before him, he knew what was coming afterwards.
That's the joy.
The joy that would come at the resurrection and the resurrection of all believers, and that we who are his followers would never have to taste the second death, that eternal separation from God. We would never have to experience separation from God. Because of that, us being coming to Christ and never having to be separated from the Father, Jesus died on the cross, that joy that would come from us being saved and forgiven. He who knew no sin became sin for us. The perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect God for an imperfect people. The blemished, the spotless lamb dying for the people. I guess that's enough. We have to be done. One of the things, well, I'll do one more. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees. Don't sit around on your hands, dragging your feet. Otherwise, you will never get a glimpse of God. So, make straightway the path of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out the way, but let it rather be healed. So, clear the path. We're running for Jesus, and we're going to keep our eyes focused on him. Amen. That's our faith, belief in Christ, and that which is before us. Amen. Father, we thank you for your blessing, and we thank you for how you watch over us and for the encouragement of those who have gone before us. Thank you, Lord, for that, your reality, your presence, your peace, your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.